I'm Tara Brabazon, and welcome to this very special podcast that is actually a caveat, or a footnote if you like, to a vodcast series that I did for the Times Higher Education. Couple of years ago, 18 months ago, where I took a series of questions from the Twitterverse and answered them on a vodcast, and thousands of people have watched those videos since then. And I received a wonderful direct message from a lass called Helen this week on Twitter, who asked me another question. And I thought, well, it's one I would like to answer. The video's not needed to do it. And I'll also involve my tall Northern English husband friend, because the both of us have something to say about this question. We came to the issue differently, but I think we can help guys and gals move through this increasingly challenging domain. So let me share this question from Helen with you. Her question was, what are your thoughts on changing disciplines at a PhD level? So sociology to history, or sports sociology to criminology? Great question, this. Now, Steve and I both did this, and that's why I suddenly realised we're probably quite rare. So what this means, guys and gals, is you've done your originating degree, honours degree, perhaps your master's degree as well, in a discipline, one would imagine often a traditional discipline, and then at a doctoral level you've decided, hell, I'm going to go into this other area. So this happened to me. I did a very, very traditional history degree at the University of Western Australia, a traditional master's degree there. Remember, this was the point where social history, let alone oral history or women's history, was terribly radical. So this was super traditional. And then I ended up in a cultural studies PhD. Steve, do you want to just talk about what your narrative was, and then we'll talk about it?
I agree that it is a very interesting question. Yes, my own history was basically I did a very traditional, elitist blackletter law degree. And then just as that was occurring, that the discipline of social legal studies, sociology of law, was and its links with criminology and deviance, was actually developing. This is the early 1970s in the UK. And as I got a scholarship to do, a national scholarship to do a master's degree, I tried to apply those knowledges around social legal studies, deviance, sociology of law, to the particular empirical research of administrative tribunals I was going to do as a master's by research. And I really came up against incredible hostility from supervisors and from people who were marking it. I then went on to do a PhD and beat my head against a brick wall again. I got a Social Science Research Council, again, national scholarship, but in the social legal studies area. I was going to Warwick, though, and that was a university at that time which was fostering interdisciplinarity. So I was in two schools, School of Law, School of Sociology, two of the best in the country. And they clashed beautifully. I didn't have hostility against me then at all. Absolutely the opposite happened.
So I think the lesson, Helen, that we learned firstly from Steve's story is he was lucky. He was in the right place at the right time when this brand new interdisciplinary field was emerging. Now, very few of us are lucky like that. But you'll also notice Steve then went to an institution where he tested that interdisciplinarity was respected. So I think that's incredibly important. Most of us go through these traditional degrees at one university, often, you know, a group of eight in Australia, in the UK, you know, the old Russell Group. And if you try and do interdisciplinarity there, you know, you got Buckley's really, you got very little chance. So pick a university and pick a supervisor who will protect you and who will respect the journey that you're on. Steve also picked up another crucial point there about the importance of examiners. So right at the start, when you're doing this interdisciplinary doctorate, start to gather a list up of about 10 or 20 interdisciplinary scholars who you're reading who will respect your journey. I think that's incredibly important. So my story is different from Steve's in that I was in a traditional history degree. I wanted to move into cultural studies. I'd done all the reading. I'd worked very hard to try and sort of read the field, but it wasn't enough for me. I didn't have the language. I didn't have the discourse. And I was underconfident. I was a young woman, all the stuff that goes along with that. And so I actually ended up doing, while I was doing my research master's degree in this traditional history field, a second bachelor degree in communication studies, and then a quick coursework master's degree in cultural studies, a master of letters in cultural studies, that gave me the language, the discourse, the interdisciplinary expertise, the readings, the names that I needed to do that PhD. I know that seems a bit bonkers, but in the long term of my career, having that deep expertise in interdisciplinarity has made a difference. So I think Steve's example is a great one for you, Helen. Find a supervisor and an institution that respects the work you're doing. But also, if you can't really get that, do think about the option of a graduate diploma, a graduate certificate, or a quick coursework master's that will give you that instant knowledge in a particular discipline. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I would also say that I think what we're in now is a crisis of interdisciplinarity, actually. By going to Warwick University in the mid-1970s to do a PhD, which I then finished part-time, by the way, because I was in work, I committed myself to interdisciplinarity in these fields, and all my interests of cultural theory, sports media, sports criminology, all came from that smashing together of sociology and law and deviance. But I think over the years, interdisciplinarity has come into crisis. And I would say now, in these what I would call conservative times, interdisciplinarity is something to be feared by many people, by many institutions. The interesting thing, though, is that what I also call today's cultural condition, theoretical times, has opened up a new field of interdisciplinarity. So there's a real clash going on now, which is why the question is important. So you do have to be very careful. You have to really negotiate your way through institutions, through supervisors, through examiners, because it's never been so fraught.
I think you're so right on that, because there's no doubt in my mind that there's this sort of ticker box thing about interdisciplinarity and transdisciplinarity. Oh, yes, interdisciplinarity.
We're committed to that.
We're so committed to that.
And
these
rubbish.
People are not. If you go back through their degrees, if you go back through their articles and their books, they've had this tiny little field, and they've justified this tiny seam of expertise, and they've based a career on it. So as you've said, they're frightened. They're fearful of the people that are these explorers, of the interdisciplinary, passionate, imaginative relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. The point about going to Warwick University in the legal area was that law in context, which is what Professor William Twining, who's one of my supervisors, pushed in the 1970s. It became this huge philosophical perspective on law internationally, had great book series and so on. But in Australia, where I'm trying to set up a CSU law school and LLB degree, if we get that accredited, it is actually, we're putting our point of difference, or one of our points of difference, as law in context, which is a particular approach to legal studies. And in fact, relatively few of the Australian law schools have any connection to it. One or two New Zealand ones do. Waikato's an example. Bits of it go across Australian law schools, but I think it's really interesting to think that decades later, literally decades later, when you thought the whole world was going to change as far as sociolegal studies, law and context was concerned, it actually hasn't changed. Disciplinarity, traditional disciplinarity, is as strong as ever.
And I think you are right to pick up on the Australian example there. There is no doubt in my mind, the ERA in particular, and the ARC, has actively, structurally and institutionally blocked interdisciplinarity and transdisciplinarity. So again, people flippantly say, oh yes, interdisciplinarity, but what is your field of research code? Yeah. And you've got to work in this particular
FOR.
Code. Yeah, field of research. It's extraordinary. And again, the same with the ERA, which is, of course, in a field of research code. And unlike in the RAE and the REF, where you can enter your research in a particular panel, but cross-refer. So you could be in, for example, sociology, but refer back to the sports panel. You could be in media and cultural studies and refer to the sociology panel. So there is that capacity to, there is a structural capacity within the regs to arch between the disciplines. Here, it's just extraordinarily impossible to do so and actively blocked in terms of the development of research.
And these things in Australia, the sort of long context aspects that I'm talking about, which do exist, you know, there are some aspects.
Flinders
is a very good example, where Kim Economides is the dean. And of course it matters. Leadership matters in these things. But these things have been battlegrounds for decades. And what I'm saying is that the whatever the rhetoric is, the discipline, the traditional disciplines have never been so embedded.
Exactly. So what we're saying to you, Helen, is you hang in there, girl. What you're doing is incredibly important. There are hundreds, let's hope thousands, but say hundreds of academics around the world who care about you and care about your future and know that you are building new knowledge. And that's the point of a PhD. Hell, that's the point of a university. So what we advise that you do is really explore and find a great supervisor. Look carefully through their publications, Helen. See how they've moved through their career. Look for movement. Look for transdisciplinarity. Look for the acrossness of disciplines. And that person will protect you, will write references for you for the rest of your life, and they will provide a space for you in their institution for you to grow and change and transform. And what I'd finally say to you is you back yourself, Helen. It's important, the work that you're doing. Interdisciplinarity, why it matters, why we talk about it, is it's at the edge of disciplines where the good stuff happens. It's at the edge of disciplines where the innovation and the imagination and the excitement and the passion and the good juicy stuff occurs. It's not in the core of these traditional disciplines. So you believe in what you're doing and you find supporters around you who believe in what you're doing. And I hope you know, Helen, that people like Steve and I believe in you and know that the future of higher education is in the PhD and the career of people just like you. So good luck, Helen.
Good luck.